Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the fabulous Fireside Room, today's speaker is Catherine Cummings Bond, who will be leading Bible Study, Session 3. So let's listen in on Catherine Cummings Bond.
I'm going to read from one book. It's this book, and there are not beautiful pictures in it, but as my son said as he walked out this morning, "Do you think you'll cry, Mom?" I said, "Probably." He said, "I think you will too." And first session, I did. So that's the news. This is a book that was written in 1942, and I think it is very powerful. But it talks, it's very self-explanatory. So get comfortable. In the middle of it, four places, I'm going to ask you to read scriptures that pertain to the story, and let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this beauty again that greets us, even if it was 5:55. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for a chance to ask ourselves hard questions and give us the courage to do so. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Eleanor Estes, The Hundred Dresses. Today, Monday, Wanda Petrinsky was not in her seat. But nobody, not even Peggy and Madeline, the girls who started all the fun, noticed her absent. Wanda was very quiet and rarely said anything at all. And nobody ever heard her laugh out loud. Sometimes she twisted her mouth into a crooked sort of smile, but that was all. Nobody knew exactly why Wanda sat in the back, unless it was because she came all the way from Boggins Heights, and her feet usually were caked with dry mud that she picked up coming along the dirty country roads. Maybe the teacher liked to keep all the children who were apt to come in with dirty shoes in the corner of the room. But no one really thought much about Wanda Petrinsky when she was in the classroom. The time they thought about her was outside of school hours, at noontime when they were coming back to school, or in the morning before the school began. Sometimes they waited for Wanda to have fun with her, that is, make fun of her, because she was different. On one particular Wednesday, Peggy and Maddie, who sat in the front row along with the other children who got good marks and didn't track in a whole lot of mud, did notice that Wanda wasn't there. Peggy was the most popular girl in school. She was pretty. She had many pretty clothes and her auburn hair was curly. Maddie was her closest friend. The reason Peggy and Maddie noticed Wanda's absence was because Wanda had made them late to school. Wanda lived way up on Boggins Heights. And Boggins Heights was no place to live. It was a good place to go and pick wildflowers in the summer. On Boggins Heights, there were a few small, scattered frame houses. And in one of them, Wanda Petrinsky lived with her father and her brother, Jake. Wanda Petrinsky. Most of the children in room 13 didn't have names like that. They had easy names to say, like Thomas, or Smith, or Alan. Wanda didn't have any friends. She came to school alone and went home alone. She always wore a faded blue dress that didn't hang right. It was clean, and it looked as though it had never been ironed properly. She didn't have any friends, but a lot of girls talked to her. They waited for her under the maple trees in the corner of Oliver Street, or they surrounded her in the schoolyard as they stood watching some other little girls play hopscotch on the worn, hard ground. "Wanda," Peggy would say in a most courteous manner, as though she were talking to Miss Mason, the teacher, or the school principal. "Wanda," she'd say, giving one of her friends a nudge, "tell us, how many dresses do you say you have hanging in your closet?" "100, said Wanda. 100, exclaimed all the girls incredulously. And the little girls would stop playing hopscotch and listen. "Yeah, 100 dresses all lined up," said Wanda. Then her lips drew together in silence. "Are they alike?" "Are they all silk, I bet," said Peggy. "Yeah, all silk, all colors." "Velvet too?" Yeah, velvet too. 100 dresses, repeated Wanda stolidly, all lined up in my closet. Then they'd let her go, and before she'd gone far away, they couldn't help bursting into shrieks and peals of laughter. 100 dresses. Obviously, the only dress Wanda had was the blue one she wore every single day. So what did she say she had 100 dresses for? What a story. And the girls laughed derisively while Wanda moved over to the sunny place by the ivy-covered brick wall of the school building where she usually stood and waited for the bell to ring, alone. Peggy was not really cruel. She protected small children from bullies, and she cried for hours if she saw an animal mistreated. If anyone had said to her, "Don't you think that's a cruel way you treat Wanda?" she would have been very surprised. Cruel? What did that girl want to go and say she had 100 dresses for? Anybody could tell that was a lie. Why did she want to lie? And she wasn't just an ordinary person, else why would she have a name like that? Anyway, they never made her cry, or so they thought. As for Maddie, this business of asking Wanda every day how many dresses she had and how many hats and how many this and that was kind of bothering her. Maddie was poor herself. She usually wore somebody else's hand-me-downs. Thank goodness they didn't live up on Boggins Heights or have a funny name. Sometimes when Peggy was asking Wanda those questions in that mock polite voice, Maddie felt embarrassed and studied the marbles in the palm of her hand, rolling them around and around and saying nothing herself. Not that she felt sorry for Wanda exactly. She would never have paid any attention to Wanda if Peggy hadn't invented the dresses game. But suppose Peggy and all the others started in on her next. She wasn't as poor as Wanda perhaps, but she was poor. And of course it would have made sense to say she had 100 dresses. Still, it would not be fun to have them begin on her. Not at all. Oh dear. She did wish Peggy would stop teasing Wanda Petrinsky. Thinking about Wanda one day and 100 dresses all lined up in the closet, Maddie began to wonder who was going to win the drawing contest and the color contest. For girls, this contest consisted of designing dresses, and for boys, this is quite sexist, it consisted of designing motorboats. Probably 1944. Probably Peggy would win the girls' medal. Peggy drew better than anyone else in the room. At least that's what everybody thought. You would see the way she could copy a picture in a magazine or some film star's head. You could almost tell who it was. Oh, Maddie did hope Peggy would win. Hope so, she was sure Peggy would win. Well, tomorrow the teacher was going to announce the winners. Then they'd know. The next day it was drizzling. Maddie and Peggy hurried to school under Peggy's umbrella. Naturally, on a day like that day, they didn't wait for Wanda Petrinsky on the corner of Oliver Street, the street that far, far away under the railroad tracks up on the hill led to Boggin Heights. Anyway, they weren't taking chances on being late today because today was important. "Do you think Miss Mason will surely announce the winners today?" asked Peggy. "Oh, I hope so, the moment we get in," said Maddie, and added, "Of course you'll win, Peg." "Hope so," said Peg eagerly. The minute they entered the classroom, they stopped short and gasped. There were drawings all over the room, on every ledge and every sill, tacked to the tops of blackboards, spread all over the bird cages, the bird charts, and dazzling colors and brilliant, lavish designs, all drawn on great sheets of wrapping paper. There must have been 100 of them all lined up. These must be the drawings for the contest. They were. Everyone stopped and whistled or murmured admiringly. As soon as the class had assembled, Miss Mason announced the winners. Jack Beggins had won for the boys, she said, for his design of an outboard motor that was an exhibition in room 12, along with all the sketches by the other boys. As for the girls, she said, although just one or two sketches were submitted by most, one girl, and room 13 should be very proud of her, This one girl actually drew 100 designs, all different and all beautiful. In the opinion of the judges, any one of her drawings is worthy of winning the prize. I am happy to say that Wanda Petrinsky is the winner of the girls' medal. Unfortunately, Wanda has been absent from school for some days, and there is no way for her to receive the applause that is due her. Let us hope that she will be back tomorrow. Now, class, you may file around the room quietly and look at her exquisite drawings. The children burst into applause, and even the boys were glad to have a chance to stamp on the floor, put their fingers in their mouths and whistle, though they really didn't care much for the dresses. Maddie and Peggy were among the first to reach the blackboard and to look at the drawings. "Look, Peg," whispered Maddie, "there's that blue one she told us about. Isn't it beautiful?" "Yeah," said Peggy, "and there's the green one. Boy, I thought I could draw." While the class was circling the room, the monitor from the principal's office brought Miss Mason a note. Miss Mason read it several times and studied it thoughtfully for a while. Then she clapped her hands and said, "Attention, class. Everyone back to their seat." When the shuffling of feet had stopped and the room was silent and still, Miss Mason said, "I have a letter from Wanda's father that I want to read." Miss Mason stood there a moment, and the silence of the room grew tense and expectant. The teacher adjusted her glasses slowly and deliberately. Her manner indicated that what she was going to read, the letter from Wanda's father, was a matter of great importance. Everybody listened closely as Miss Mason read the brief note. "Dear teacher, my Wanda will not come to your school anymore. Jake also. Now we move away to Big City. No more holler Pollock. No more ask why funny name. Plenty of funny names in the Big City. Yours truly, Jan Petrinsky." A deep silence met the reading of the letter. Miss Mason took her glasses off, blew on them, and wiped them with a soft white handkerchief. Then she put them on again and looked at the class. When she spoke, her voice was very low. "Could someone read one?"
"My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which they be so great, and they are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth."
You're doing great, honey.
"Even so, the tongue is a little member, and
the tongue. He's talking about the tongue driving the ship. Go ahead.
"The boast of great and boast of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath be tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so."
I am sure that none of my boys and girls in room 13 would purposefully and deliberately hurt anyone's feelings because of his name, if it happened to be long and unfamiliar. I prefer to think that what was said in thoughtlessness. I know that all of you feel the way I do, and this is a very unfortunate thing to have happen. Unfortunate and sad both, and I want you all to think about it. Goodness, wasn't there anything she could do, Maddie thought? If only she could tell Wanda that they hadn't meant to hurt her feelings.
She turned around and stole a glance at Peggy, but Peggy did not look up. She seemed to be studying hard. That night, Maddie could not go to sleep. She thought about Wanda and her faded blue dress and the little house that she lived in. And she thought of the glowing picture those 100 dresses had made, all lined up in the classroom. At last, Maddie sat up in bed and pressed her forehead tight in her hands, and she really thought. This was the hardest thinking she had ever done. After a long, long time, she reached an important conclusion. She was never going to stand by and say nothing again. If she ever heard anyone picking on somebody because they were funny looking or because they had strange names, she would speak up, even if it meant losing Peggy's friendship. She had no way of making things right with Wanda, but from now on, she would never make anybody else so unhappy again. Finally, all tired out, Maddie fell asleep. On Saturday, Maddie spent the afternoon with Peggy. They were writing a letter to Wanda Petrinsky. It was just a friendly letter telling about the contest and telling Wanda that she had won. They told her how pretty her drawings were, and they asked her if she liked where she was living now and if she liked her new teacher. They had meant to say they were sorry, but it ended up with just writing a friendly letter. The kind you would have written to any good friend, and they signed it with lots of X's for love. They mailed the letter to Boggins Heights, writing "Please forward" on the envelope. The teacher had not known where Wanda had moved to, so their only hope was the post office might know. The minute they dropped the letter in the mailbox, they both felt happier and more carefree. Days passed, and there was no answer. But the letter did not come back, so maybe Wanda had received it. Perhaps she was so hurt and angry that she was not going to answer. You could not blame her. And Maddie remembered the way the girls always said, "Why does your dress always hang funny like that? And why does she wear those queer high-lace shoes?" They knew she didn't have any mother, but they hadn't thought about it. They hadn't thought she had to do her own washing and ironing, that she only had one dress, and she must have to wash and iron it every single night. Maybe sometimes it wasn't dirty, it wasn't dry when it was time to put on in the morning, but it was always clean. Several weeks went by and still Wanda did not answer. Peggy had begun to forget the whole business, and Maddie put herself to sleep at night making speeches about Wanda, defending her from crowds of girls who were trying to tease her. "How many dresses have you got?" And before Wanda could press her lips together in a tight line, the way she did before answering, Maddie would cry out, "Stop! This girl is just a girl, just like me." And then everybody would feel ashamed at the way she used to feel. Sometimes she rescued Wanda from a sinking ship or the hoofs of a runaway horse. "Oh, that's all right," she'd say to Wanda, when Wanda would thank her with dull, pained eyes. But now it was Christmas, and there was snow on the ground, Christmas bells and a small tree decorated in the classroom, and on one narrow blackboard, Jack Beggles, remember he won the voter contest, had drawn a jolly fat Santa Claus in red and white chalk. On the last day of school before the holidays, the children in Peggy and Maddie's class had a Christmas party. The teacher's desk was rolled back, and a piano was rolled in. First, the children had acted the story of Tiny Tim. Then they sung songs, and Cecile had done some dances in different costumes. The dance called The Passing of Autumn, in which she whirled and spun like a red and golden autumn leaf, was the favorite. After the party, the teacher said she had a surprise, and she showed the class a letter she had received that morning. "Guess who it's from," she said. "Do you remember Wanda Petrinsky? The bright little artist who won the drawing contest? Well, she has written me, and I am glad to know where she lives now so I can send her her medal. And I hope it gets there for Christmas. I want to read her letter to you." The class sat up with a sudden interest and listened intently to Miss Mason as she read the letter. "Dear Miss Mason, how are you and room 13? Please tell the girls they can keep those 100 dresses, because in my new house, I have 100 new ones all lined up in my closet. I'd like that girl Peggy to have the drawing of the green dress with the red trimming, and her friend Maddie to have the blue one for Christmas. I miss that school, and my new teacher does not equalize with you. Merry Christmas to you and everybody. Yours truly, Wanda Petrinsky. Would number 2 read, please?
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots.
The teacher passed the letter around the room for everybody to see. It was pretty, decorated with a picture of a Christmas tree lighted up in the night in a park surrounded by high buildings. On the way home from school, Maddie and Peggy held their drawings very carefully. They had stayed late to help straighten up the play, after the play, and it was getting dark. The houses looked warm and inviting with wreaths and holly and lighted trees in their windows. Outside the grocery store, hundreds of Christmas trees were stacked. In the window, candy peppermint canes and cornucopias of shiny, bright, transparent paper were strung. The air smelled like Christmas, and the bright lights everywhere reflected different colors on the snow. The colors are like the colors in Wanda's 100 dresses, said Maddie. Yes, said Peggy, holding her drawing out to look at under the street lamp. And boy, this picture shows she really liked us. It shows she got our letter, and this is the way of saying that everything's all right. And that's that, she said with finality. Peggy felt happy and relieved. It was Christmas and everything was going to be fine. I hope so, said Maddie sadly. She felt sad because she knew that she would never see the little tight-lipped Polish girl again and couldn't ever really make things right between them. Who has 3?
I do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins, forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you. Maddie went home and pinned her drawing over a torn place in the pink-flowered wallpaper in her bedroom. The shabby room came alive from the brilliancy of the colors. Maddie sat down on the edge of her bed and looked at the drawing. She had stood by and said nothing. But Wanda had been nice to her anyway. Tears blurred her eyes, and she gazed for a long time at the picture. And then hastily, she rubbed her eyes and studied it intently. The colors in the dress were so vivid, she had scarcely noticed the face and the head of the drawing. But it looked like her, Maddie, it really did. The same short blonde hair, blue eyes, and wide straight mouth. Why, it really looked like her own self. Wanda had really drawn it for her. Wanda had drawn her. In excitement, she ran over to Peggy's. Peg, she said, let me see your picture. What's the matter? Asked Peggy as she clattered up the stairs to a room where Wanda was drawing, where her drawing was lying face down on the bed. Maddie carefully lifted it up. Look, she drew you. That's you, she exclaimed. And the head of the face and the picture looked just like auburn-haired Peggy. What did I say, said Peggy. She must have really liked us anyway. Yes, she must have, agreed Maddie, and she blinked away the tears that came every time she thought of Wanda standing alone in that sunny spot in the schoolyard close to the wall, looking stolidly over the group of laughing girls after she had walked off, after she had said, sure, 100 dresses, all lined up. I'd like 4 people to come up and become these 4 characters. Maddie, Peggy, Wanda, and the teacher. And then we're going to ask you questions about how you felt and what was going on. Who would be willing to be Maddie? Do you remember who Maddie was? Either of you is fine. How about Peggy? Who would be willing to be one? Here's Wanda. And here's the teacher. Who'd like to be the teacher? We could have a male teacher, it would be fine. Because I'm recovering from codependence, I will not rescue you. I will not sit in that chair. So we'll just wait.
Mom. Oh, good.
Okay, now anyone can, we're going to talk about anything you want to ask Maddie about what was going on in her, how she felt, and she's going to answer, I felt this way because she's Maddie. Okay? Does that make sense? So anyone, go ahead and ask a question of Maddie.
Maddie.
What's your friendship with Peggy going to be like tomorrow? Halfway look up.
A little louder, honey.
I halfway look up to her, but the other side of me doesn't really like who she is as a person. If she just doesn't do what she did to Wanda anymore, I'll stay with her. But if she does that again to people, I'll have to stand up to her and tell her to stop that. And that means that she doesn't like me anymore. That's the way it is.
We'll stay with Maddie, and then we'll go to Peggy, and then Wanda, and then the teacher. So just more questions to Maddie, if you have any.
Maddie, how do you feel about yourself?
Since Wanda's left, and I realized what I was doing, I've grown to like myself more. I think that while Wanda was here, the girls were being so mean to her that I didn't like myself, but I didn't know that I didn't. And I realized that after she'd left.
Excuse me.
What made you realize that you were doing something wrong?
Well, after she left, or I guess it was before she left, and I realized that her and I weren't that different, that it could be me next, and I put myself in that place, and I don't think that I would have liked that at all, so.
Are you worried Peggy might, now you're the poorest girl in the class, Peggy might turn on you?
She could. I think that she's learned a little bit more too. I don't think that she really has a conscience, but if she has realized something, then I don't think that would happen.
Why do you think Peggy likes you?
I think that we started out being friends because I would just agree with everything that she said and just kind of be her sidekick, and I'm not sure that she'll like me so much anymore. But now that I'm not gonna just let her do what she wants to and not agree with everything she does.
Are you going to tell her exactly how you feel about Wanda?
I might. I won't just like bring it up to pick a fight, but if something similar happens, then I definitely will.
Thank you, honey. Peggy. Peggy, what were you drawing
after when that letter was read about Wanda Petrinsky, what were you drawing on your paper? Remember when the letter was and Maddie looked back to look at you, and you were working on something really hard.
What does it feel steady?
What were you feeling about that?
I guess I felt kind of bad. It was... I knew she wanted to know if she could, but...
A lot of honey.
I mean, I felt kind of bad, but she didn't have to. I mean, we didn't really need to hurt the feelings when we were doing that, so... If I could tell her, but...
I have a feeling, Peggy, that you really haven't changed. This had changed. This whole thing had changed Maddie, but I got the impression that your thinking had not changed. What can you say about that?
I think it changed a little bit, but I mean, I wouldn't really do things to hurt people's feelings, like totally deliberately. Just want to go out and make somebody feel bad. But she didn't really have to lie, so.
What about lying? I didn't catch that.
I thought she was lying when she said about the 100 dresses, and I don't think that she should have lied. She didn't have to.
Did you really think it was a lie? Didn't she have 100 dresses lined up in her closet?
I didn't think it was a lie, because she only wore the same one day after day after day after day.
How did you feel when you didn't win that prize you thought you were going to win?
I felt pretty disappointed because I expected that I would. Are you going to hate me when I stand up to you? Apart a little, but I could still respect you for your own opinion. But I guess I'm a little mad at you.
Peggy, did your parents or your Sunday school teachers say anything about the people who lived in the Heights?
There's stuff about the poor and stuff in the Bible, how you were supposed to like help them and stuff. But I don't think I listened.
How did you feel when you saw that your face was on the red?
I thought that was amazing that she could just forgive somebody like that. I know if it happened to me, that I wouldn't forgive somebody that easily. But she just like kind of meant it for me. That's pretty cool.
What do you think of Wandy now?
I think she's okay. I kind of more respect her now that she knows she's not going to hold a grudge against me. I think she's a pretty nice person for that.
Thank you, Peggy. Wanda.
Wanda, how did you feel about having a dress that you had to wash every day and wear the same dress and being poor?
I hated that dress. I didn't think it was to wear, so.
Wanda, did you feel really that you were poor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted those 100 dresses for my very own.
But did you feel really that you were an outsider because you were a poor?
I felt very outside. I felt very lonely and not part of the group at all.
That lonely or from being on the outside observing what was going on with all the kids that grew up together, that had you matured beyond that level to see what was going on because you were able to paint their pictures on those dresses?
No, I painted their pictures on their dresses because that's the only way I could have them as friends, was by drawing them, my friends.
How did you feel about moving?
I like it in Buffalo. I guess I'll say Buffalo. It's so nice being around people who are like me and who understand what my life is like and have eat the same foods and celebrate the same holidays. It's like coming home. I like it a lot.
How did you feel about the two girls when they asked you questions about the clothes in your closet?
Oh, I didn't hate them. I was more sad. I wanted to be their friends, and they weren't. Piggy, I wouldn't. They didn't like Piggy very much.
Why did you miss Room
13? I like Miss Mason. Mr. Mason.
If you call me Miss Mason, that's fine.
Whatever.
This is a story.
Yeah. And just because it was my first school, I guess. Just because.
And then at the same time, maybe she filled in for the mother you didn't have, because she gave you attention to a certain extent.
Well, she told me, taught me how to iron better. I still can't do that very well.
Neither can I.
Did you ever think about Jesus, Wanda?
Yes. I didn't think of him in any connection with me. It was all a very long time ago. He was up on that cross. But he had nothing to do with me.
How did you feel when the kids ridiculed you?
I wish they'd pick on somebody else.
Why did it take you so long to send the letter back?
And I didn't ever really write to Peggy and Mandy, did I? Wrote to Miss Mason.
Did you ever want to...
kind of forget. I was trying to forget.
Did you ever want to feel like you wanted to get even with the girls at all?
Yeah, I wish I had 100 dresses, real dresses, in my closet. I could, in my phone, and say, see? Yes. I didn't know any other, couldn't think of any way to get back at them. I think if I could have, once in a while, I would have. I wasn't always forgiving as shows in those pages. I had my bad moments.
Well, I really respect you for your ability to forgive. Where did you get the strength to do that?
My dad's like that. So that's... even though he wrote that letter and he felt it was best for us to move, he told me not to hate them. So I think I learned from him.
In regards to getting even without you even knowing it, don't you believe you got even when you seen these pictures and which resemble themselves? Which could not have been correlated back to you, but gotcha?
I think now looking back on it, I think that in the scene everybody's reaction, I don't think I would have figured that out for myself at age 10 or whatever it was.
But you drew the pictures before you left. I mean, you couldn't have been forgiving.
It wasn't so much a forgiving as that's really how I drew them because I wanted them to be my friends. It wasn't so much a forgiving thing. I think they maybe thought it was. Mm-hmm. And they feel better because they think it was, but I'm not sure it really was.
Did you ever try before to be nice to them?
No, I think they started picking on me from the minute I showed up. So being nice, there I even got a chance to be nice.
You know, the other side of it could be, did the pictures actually look for like them, or were they looking for this as forgiveness from themselves?
Oh, that's a good question. Although one had red hair, you know, one had blonde hair, so it probably did.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you very much. Mr. and Miss Mason.
Pat?
It's Pat. Androgynously Pat.
My name is Robert. Call me Roberta.
Any questions for the teacher?
Are you aware of it?
Yes, I have one.
Oh, okay. Let's go with her first.
Are you aware that the teasing was going on?
Go ahead, I didn't hear.
From the beginning?
Was I aware that the teasing was going on? Yes. Yeah, I definitely was. I could... It's real easy to tell, because after you have a class for a while, you can tell which what's going on as far as kids teasing each other and who doesn't like other kids.
When did you plan to do something about it?
Well, I don't know. It's just sometimes it's been difficult for me to make those decisions as to when you should do that, when you should discipline the children. That's always been something that's hard for me to do.
Seemed to me that it was when the father wrote the letter that they were moving, that the light turned on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah, I mean, it had tears in my eyes when I read the letter, and it was really, it really hurt reading that letter. I was really, really feeling pain when I read that letter.
Did you really think they were just thoughtless then? Did you really think they were just thoughtless then?
The kids. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought, in a way they were thoughtless. However, since I didn't do anything about it, I was thoughtless too.
What would you have done if you were in your position? Like if you were with him?
Speak up, please. Can you repeat the question?
Okay. Her question was, what would I do if I was one of the kids in the class, not Wanda, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Would I have spoken up for Wanda? Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I wouldn't have. I mean, based on how long I let this go on, in retrospect, I guess I can't see that I would have.
Did you, as a teacher, ever wish secretly that Wanda wasn't in your class because she was different? Just one of all the normal kids in your class?
I don't think I ever wished that she wasn't in the class. I mean, it does make it sometimes more difficult when you have a child that is different from the others, but I don't believe I ever wished that she was in another class.
Why did she learn to make her sit at the back all the time?
Well, maybe because I can sense that, she was being made fun of, and it was hopefully a way to not think about it.
Did you have a part in her winning, in the decision for her to win the contest? Did you think that would solve the problem?
How did you feel when you saw it?
Okay, let me ask that question first. I thought as far as her winning the contest, that might help solve the problem. However, I saw her pictures and I really thought they were outstanding too.
I have to call time.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We've gone over. And here's the travesty. The travesty if we leave here thinking this is a story about Wanda Petrinsky. Because it's not a story about Wanda Petrinsky. It's a story about us, and it's a story about prejudice. It's a story about hate. It happens everywhere we are, and even in Holden Village. And it happens in very subtle ways, just like the teacher was saying. And what I want you to do is call attention to yourselves and the way that we gently or overtly, subtly discriminate and hate. And we all know the people that that's true of. We could list them. But my challenge to you is this. What would it take for you to stand up? And why do we avoid conflict so much? Did Jesus avoid conflict? No. Sometimes we Christians, I think that being a peacemaker is walking away quietly. That God's not going to see us as the joke is made about, you know who the things are. So, my question to you this day is, I would like for you to come up as homework for tomorrow's Bible study, an I statement. I will do something different in my life so as not to perpetuate prejudice. I will look handicapped people in the eye and say, hi, good to see you, rather than avoiding them, averting their eyes. I will, when the next joke is made about a dumb blonde, a homosexual, whatever, I will say something rather than nothing. I want you to come up with an I statement for yourself, and I want you to tell someone else in camp what that I statement is. One person, could be me, I'd love to hear it. Could be your spouse, could be a family, could be a friend, could be a person you're taking a walk with this afternoon. As a result of hearing 100 dresses, I will blank. Is that clear? Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for your forgiving us and for the examples in Jesus Christ and Wanda Petrinsky and those in our life, like our dad in her case, who taught us how to love unconditionally and even in the face of hate and rejection. We want to be like Jesus. Give us the courage to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Have a great one.
Are you going to be in here tomorrow morning?
Yes, I'm here. I'll be here tomorrow morning. Yes.
Only on the board.
I know I'm here through Saturday. I'll be teaching Bible through Saturday as far as I know. So if I'm not here tomorrow, I think they might give me a day off, but I'm going to tell them I don't want a day off. So